Welcome back. This lesson is all about STEM export discipline with Simple Recs. And yeah, this is advanced workflow territory. If you make drum and bass at a serious level, STEM prep is not some boring task you do at the end when you're tired. It is part of the production. It affects your sound design, your arrangement, your resampling, your collaborations, your DJ edits, and your final mix decisions. If the session is messy, the exports will be messy. And if the exports are messy, everything downstream gets slower, weaker, and more annoying. So in this session, we're building a clean, repeatable Ableton Live workflow using group tracks, simple racks, macros, and stock devices. Not giant mystery chains, not overbuilt mega racks, just disciplined structure that keeps your dark rollers and heavy bass tunes export-proof from the sketch stage all the way to final delivery. The big goals are simple. Organized STEM groups, consistent rack behavior, controlled export prep, fast iteration, and reliable STEM prints for mixdown, labels, collaborators, and alternate versions. And one important mindset before we start. Think in decision states, not just device chains. In other words, don't only build effects, build clearly labeled project modes. Things like mix state, STEM print state, collab state, DJ edit state, that can be as simple as locators or dummy clips with names. Why does that matter? Because when it's time to print, you want your brain to stop making creative decisions and start validating. That shift is huge. Let's build the workflow. First, make the session STEM first from the beginning. Every sound should already have a home before you get fancy with bus processing. For drum and bass, a clean top-to-bottom layout might look like this. At the top, a drums group with kick, snare, tops, break A, break B, perk, and drum effects. Then a bass section with sub, mid-bass layers, reese, and textures. Then music with pads, stabs, chords, and any lead or hook material. Then an effects group for risers, downlifters, impacts, atmos, and noise. Then vocals if you've got them. And underneath, your returns. Short verb, long verb, delay, drum smash, subtle bass space, and maybe one special print effects return. Now this sounds basic, but in drum and bass, visual discipline is speed. Your sessions move fast, there's lots of transient information, and the low end matters too much to be guessing. Color code it. Red for drums, blue for bass, green for music, purple for FX, yellow for vocals, gray for returns. You do not want to be hunting around in a 90-track session trying to remember where the atmospheric downlifter lives, while your export is halfway wrong. And here's a key advanced habit. Freeze your STEM policy early. Decide by the midpoint of the project whether you are delivering dry stems plus return effects, or wet stems that represent the rough mix more faithfully. If you wait until the end to decide, you'll often discover the project was built in a way that fights your export plan. Add one locator called delivery notes and literally write something like dry stems plus FX returns, sub-separate, parallel drum bus included. That one line can save a ridiculous amount of confusion later. Now let's talk target STEM groups. For a more detailed drum and bass export, you might print kick, snare, tops and breaks, percussion, sub, mid-bass, reese, or texture bass, music, atmos and effects, vocals, and optionally your print returns. If you need a simpler pack, collapse that into drums, bass, music, effects and vocals. The point is not to make more stems than necessary. The point is to make the same decisions every time. Next, we build simple STEM control racks on each main group. This is where a lot of people go wrong. They build one giant all-in-one rack with 10 layers of processing, strange routing, hidden gain changes, and macros they barely understand. That is not discipline. That is future pain. On each main group, create an audio effect rack. Name it clearly. STEM control drums. STEM control bass. STEM control music. STEM control effects. STEM control vox. Inside each rack, keep the chain simple and repeatable. Start with utility for gain trim, width, and mono checking. Then a Q8 for cleanup and safe filtering. Then a glue compressor or standard compressor for gentle consistency. Then either a limiter or saturator depending on the role. That's it. Nice and boring. Boring is good here. Map the macros intelligently. Trim, high pass filter, low pass filter, compression amount, width, saturation, mono check, and export safe. That export safe macro is really useful. It can pull down output a touch, narrow width slightly, reduce saturation drive, and make the limiter a little safer. It gives you a quick way to move from creative, slightly savage production settings into a more reliable print state without rebuilding the chain. And if you want to get a bit more advanced, try dual delivery thinking in your macros. For example, Mixed trim versus print trim, wet dry bias, monofocus, top control, low cleanup, comp bias, safe sealing. Same idea, just more explicitly tied to delivery modes. Now let's build the drums rack. DNB drums need punch, not accidental clipping and not bus chains that flatten your snare into cardboard. On the drums group, use utility, EQ8, glue compressor, saturator, and limiter. Start with utility at zero gain, width at 100%. Bass mono off for now. Map gain to trim and width to the width macro. In EQ8, think subtle cleanup, a high pass around 25 to 30 Hz to remove useless rumble. Maybe a tiny cut in the 250 to 350 range if things feel boxy. Optional high shelf around 8 to 10K if the top needs a little life. But keep this light. This rack is not where you solve every drum problem. Individual tracks should already be doing their job. In glue compressor, use low ratio, maybe 2 to 1, with a medium attack like 3 or 10 milliseconds and auto or moderate release. You only want around 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction at the loudest moments, just enough to make the bus feel coherent. This audio version is shortened for playback.